So we have another episode of the Becoming Cosmically You podcast, and today we have Michaela with us. So, Michaela, do you want to introduce yourself and let us know who you are and what you do?
Thank you for the invitation, and I'm happy to be here. And my name is Michaela, and people might know me under the name She Wolf Impact. And what I do is I help people, or I help humans to become God again. Because maybe you know that great quote of Saint Athanasius, where it says, God became man so man could become God again.
Beautiful. And how do you like define God, like moving into that godlike status for you? Like, how do you define that? Because obviously there are so many different definitions of what God is, right? Or who he is or what he is. How do you define it?
It's creation without lifting a single finger, because when you look around how people try to create a reality that they truly love or that their dream reality, they are constantly doing something first in order to receive. And that's the reverse game of life, but there is the hidden real game of life within the reverse game of life. And when you look at God, for example, God never needed to do any subconscious work, or they never needed a strategy, or never needed any of what you see humans doing in order to create. And that's the real game of life about, where you truly create simply from being and not from the doing.
Yeah, I love that. And we're definitely feeling that kind of push this year, especially with the energy, right? The cosmic shifts and all the energy that's coming through. I feel like the message is coming through loud and clear about being. My cats, by the way, are having a little bit of an attack on each other in the background. So if you suddenly hear them screeching, everything's okay.
Yes.
How do you work with people, Michaela, to kind of get them back to that godlike status? How does that work?
First, I want to say I'm not religious at all, because I am working like three ways. Meaning, of the first is about Christ consciousness, the second is about God consciousness, and the third is then Trinity. And it kind of unfolded for me this way, because Trinity unfolded for me, it all made sense now. When we tie it back to Matrix, the movie, there is Trinity in there and Neo, the one which is God. So it's kind of like that's how it was given to me. So people in the first stage, they integrate the Christ consciousness, and when you look up the Bible, it says Christ will give you peace. It was never about Jesus. It was always about Christ. And Jesus would be the person like me, Michaela, but Christ is a state of consciousness that is the savior that is giving you peace regardless of what 3D might be showing you. And then it's about God, which is only accessible from Christ. This is why, for example, in the Bible, it states, I and my Father are one, or no one comes to the Father except through me. So it's always you have to first go with Christ, then God, and then if you want to really want to go like advanced level of God embodiment, it's like Trinity, where it's God as the Father, as the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is literally everything that we experience in life, meaning the 3D. Then the invisible realms and the whole of creation, and nothing is ever separate ever again. Why? Because think about it this way. When people, I would love to take this topic to wealth, for example, especially because money is such a big topic for humans. Yeah. So when it comes to money, the first thing a person thinks is, oh, it's separate from me. So the separation is the cause for someone to move. And that's the illusion. But truth is, nothing was ever separate, because the money was never away. And if we dive into Trinity, you have been the money too. So how can you separate yourself from yourself?
Yeah, I love that. And how do you define Christ consciousness?
Christ consciousness is literally having peace without using a methodology. It's a state of being. Like all three, Christ, God, and Trinity, they're all states of being with consciousness. Yeah. So it's not about like, okay, how can I, for example, an unforeseen event is happening that is letting my business crumble, for example. And most humans, they would be triggered by it, or they would have some form of reaction. And this is then where methodologies come in. This is then where all these techniques come in. But you're completely free of all of them when you simply know how to be in the state of Christ. Because this is where you then are above the things. This is what the Bible speaks about, being above the earth.
I love that. I speak about that a lot, Christ consciousness, because I think there's such a divide in our niche, isn't there? If you kind of think of yourself as part of the spiritual niche, is that we get the religious people and then we get the spiritual people and then the people are kind of in between. But I always say, like, it's always about a feeling. Christ consciousness wasn't about Jesus taking away your sins. It was about you coming into a state of being. How I explain it is, it's like the feeling of unconditional love, right? It's just you just feel so present and so connected with your childlike self without almost having anything to show for it, right? The way that kids just move through their life with joy and happiness, and if you give them a chocolate bar, they're like, woo! It's kind of like that, right? It's beautiful, right? And sometimes I think people, I don't know if you get this, Michaela, but people look at you like you're absolutely fucking crazy, because they're like, well, you haven't really got anything to be that happy about. But you're like, well, do I need to?
I constantly get asked the question of what kind of drugs I'm on, because I'm just like never bothered by anything.
Yeah, funny, isn't it? When you are on a different frequency, if you see it as a frequency or a different energy, people assume that there's something wrong with you, because how can you be that happy? How can you be that grounded and connected when there's all this stuff going on in the world? But for me, I always say to people, well, that's your perception of the world. You know, I don't see this pain. I don't feel this pain. Not because I'm just shutting my eyes, it's because I can't actually feel it or connect with it anymore. I used to when I was in my trauma, you know, my deep, deep trauma, I used to blame the world for everything. But now I'm just saying that that's not my reality.
You just said a very important word. The word was perception. Because I often speak about ego, and people think that the ego is like the kind of self-centered way, or like the very stuck up people, but that has nothing to do with ego. Ego is basically the human, the entirety of human, meaning the body, the mind, the emotions. All of the human is the ego. Yeah. And so this is where the perception comes in, because only the human perceives, and therefore then is have you ever read about that quote in the Lost Gospel of Thomas, when the two become one? So it's literally speaking, the whole Bible is like about consciousness, and it constantly speaks about the all, like the one seeing eye or all seeing eye and the two eyes. And this is what ego does. The human sees through the lens of two eyes, meaning good and bad, love and hate, day and night. So there is the duality coming in that is actually non-existent. But especially in the industry we're in, duality has become a huge part of it, and people think it's normal to experience duality, but it's not. It's actually just a concept of the mind that makes you believe that duality is kind of like a normal thing to have, meaning when there is up, there is a down. And when there are no such labels like up and down, no duality can exist. And then this is where things just are. Nothing more, they just are.
Yeah. I always say, like, the quickest way to get frustrated is to argue with your reality. You know, it's happening because it's happening. Like it's either giving you something to be thankful for, or it's teaching you a lesson. And I think the other thing, Michaela, I don't know if you experience this or see this in the industry, but everyone gets so carried away with doing the shadow work. And I'm like, we've done all that stuff now as a collective. We've done that over and over and over again. Now is the time for the integration. Now is the time for the cosmic expansion and connect with our desires without staying in those trauma wounds and carrying that badge, which so many of the collective love to carry around as almost like a certificate, right? Like, oh, look at me. I've been through some trauma. It's like, no, come on, come on, come on, come with us.
Shadow work, like, how am I gonna say this? If we take it, like, let's just distinguish between ego, which is the human, and consciousness, which is like really the divine self, right? That this is God. And if we look at all the drama work and all the shadow work and all the belief work and all these modules, yeah, people keep doing, thinking it is spiritual. It's actually not spiritual. Why? Because the only one who was ever hurt was ego, but consciousness never was. And so it doesn't make sense to me when people say they need to heal their higher self. There is nothing to heal about the higher self because the higher self is the consciousness, and that one was never wounded. It was always whole. It was always complete, and it was never separate from anything.
I agree. A lot of my clients always ask me what's stopping me from getting what I want. I always say you. Because
Yes.
it's true, right? It's always
Yes.
the human.
It's like, when people say, like, oh, I have to move, so then the universe moves too. But when you think about it this way, there is you, and then there is the universe, which is also you. So there is only you. So that conversation about who needs to move first becomes obsolete as well.
Everyone moves together, right? It all moves in like symbiosis, doesn't it? Breathing in and out like a heartbeat, my team are saying. So, what are some of your like tips if people are really looking to tap into Christ consciousness or really get to that godlike state? Like, what are the kind of steps that you lead people through?
They are actually very logical because can I just share a little bit of like how I actually came to discover all of that?
Yeah, do what you like. This is your show.
Because I started in the online industry like 4 years ago as a business coach and mindset coach, and I did all those things with like pattern work, strategy, da 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 da. So people would come to me when they needed a new strategy or up level their belief system in order to have a better business. And I was really good at that, like really, really good at that. And then what happened was in February 2022, like 2 years ago, my identical twin sister passed away, and out of the blue suddenly. And what happened then was like literally my way into liberation from the illusion. Because what happened was, as she passed away, I first thought I'm having an identity crisis, because I was just always asking myself suddenly, like, who am I? And I thought it came from the cause of my twin sister passing, and I just knowing myself to be a twin and suddenly no longer being a twin. Little did I know what was in the unfolding, because I started to like really receive revelations in a sense of like, one day I sat at the couch and I was like, hey, everyone is speaking about her truth, his truth, my truth. Like, everyone has a different truth. And then I was like, okay, if we have 8 billion people, that means we have 8 billion truths. This means none of that is true. And I was really seeking truth. And then a really strange thing happened, because I remember I had a phone call with my mom, and I said to her, nothing in life makes sense anymore. Like, literally, it's like as if, regardless of from what angle I try to look at life, it feels like one and one equals eight. Like it doesn't make sense. And I said, I need to find truth. And just a few days later, I sat on my couch again and I heard the voice. There was no one with me, but I heard a voice loud and clearly saying to me, go and watch Matrix. And I was like, heck, isn't this movie like 20 years old? And I have never even watched it. And I knew it was a sci-fi movie. And I just like, I'm not into sci-fi at all. However, I devoted to that quest and I watched the movie. And as I watched the movie, I could feel with every part of my being that truth is in there, but it did not make sense because I did not understand the movie. And then I was led to the Bible. So I read the entire Bible. And also here, I knew truth was in there, but it did not make sense. Like I could not understand it. And on March 27th of 2022, like just a few weeks after my twin sister's passing, as I was sitting with my laptop on my legs, I suddenly experienced as if like a huge cord being cut and that cord shooting into my body with like hyper speed. And then I got a really strange dizziness, and within 10 minutes, I was so sick. I could not move for full 24 hours. It felt like my whole body is burning, every cell is burning, every muscle is burning.
Oh.
And exactly after 24 hours, I was completely fine. And then the strange experiences started to happen. Like I would experience, for example, if I heard a bird, I would become the bird. I would also literally experience that timelines are non-existent. Like timelines that there is no time. And people try to work towards timelines or jump timelines or work on their future self or on their past self when there was never a time. So I literally physically experienced all these things. And then that's how like truth unfolded itself to me. And then I had truth, but I did not know, okay, how do you bring this to the world? I mean, you cannot quite teach someone to become a bird or something like this. And I just like went with the flow, so to say. I did not rush anything to unfold, and suddenly everything was there. I knew exactly how to logically teach people Christ consciousness. I knew exactly how to logically bring them into God and how to logically bring them into Trinity. On top of activations, yeah. And I have to say the success rate with this has been phenomenal because there has never been one human working with me who had not creations or who had not manifestations that manifested themselves for you. Because when we look at manifestation, for example, it's always like, I have to manifest, I have to manifest, yeah. You don't have to manifest at all because that would imply by itself it separates from you. Yeah. Instead, the real game of life is you don't have to lift a single finger and everything manifests itself to you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I always say to people, like you are a sovereign being here, and it's the universe's job to serve you, to bring things to you. So you just have to surrender. And I think humans have a really, really hard time surrendering and making space and allowing and receiving, especially women, actually, because I think we've been programmed for a long time to be the workers, be all the hats, wear all the hats, do all the things and not take time off. You know, it's our job to look after the children, to raise the children, to earn money, to clean the house, you know, very stereotypically. You know, I don't do all of those things, but I am a single mom, so I have to do a lot of them. But you know, we've been programmed in that way. And so if you tell someone who's super successful, you need to relax, you need to surrender, you need to wait, you need to allow, they're like, what the fuck? What? No.
They experience a huge discomfort in just like leaning back because their ego cannot handle giving up the control. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why, Like that was my own experience because I was such a hustler. Like they would call me the Grant Cardone of business coaching. And suddenly I had like this 180 degree shift and I simply allowed it. And was there a discomfort coming up? Yes, of course. But through all of that, all the steps were revealed to me of what I teach today. And it's actually interesting that you bring up this topic because you know what the Bible says? The Bible says it's easier for a camel to walk through a needle's ear than for a rich to enter the kingdom of God. And that's exactly what it means by, for example, you having a seven or eight figure earner that has created all the wealth within the illusion by doing all the things. And then that person could have, of course, everyone can have everything without doing one single thing, yeah. But that person will keep themselves from it because they're so used into like doing and making it happen.
And it's such a common thing I see. And you said before about identity. I'm seeing that a lot with the super successful people that we're talking to on this show, is that they seem to think that they need to be one way or the other. Like there's women who are really stepping into this hustling masculine mode, or there's men who think that they've got to be like Alex Hormozi, you know, that type of really ballsy, balls against the wall, like bro marketing. And I think like the more that you can just accept your true self for who you are and just follow your own heart and your own joy, the easier it becomes, right? And even if you don't get all the things that you had materially, you'll feel like you do.
The thing is, I love to speak about following the heart because, and I know this might be very contradicting to many, yeah. But we are also programmed to follow the heart. But what very few people know, not what very few people know is the heart is part of the illusion too. This is why the Bible also says, above all things, the heart is the most deceitful. And when you look up, for example, Jesus, he actually tried to teach Christ consciousness to humans like 2,000 years ago. Yeah. And you will never find him saying, follow your own heart or listen to yourself. Never. Why? Because the heart is a part of the program. And this is where actually the surrender comes in, or how I like to call it, the devotion. Because when you're truly being in consciousness, there cannot be such label like good, bad. So how can I love one thing more than the other? And this is why I always say only ego does what it loves or follows the things it loves, versus consciousness can do everything with love.
Oh, I love that. Beautiful. I love
And this
that. You should make that into a quote. Consciousness can do everything with love.
I love this because it's so true. Because when we're given tasks in life, not everything is about, oh, do I love it? Do I love it? But yet that one thing might be part of an unfolding. And I don't, as the human, I don't see the connection. And at the same time, I don't have to see the connection. And this is where actually, when we look deeper into personal development, we are taught like follow the bliss or follow the pleasure, or also raise your boundaries so that you don't have to deal with things that your ego doesn't love. Yeah. When in fact, all of what's truly happening here is, and I'm gonna give you an example. It's actually an unfolding of one of my manifestations. It was like $500,000 or €500,000, sorry. And how this unfolded was through an accident. So in that accident, I could have been like, I don't like this, I hate it, da, 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 da. Let me do something about it, let me fix this, yeah. But rather, really just knowing, okay, this is just a thing like all other things, it just is, yeah. And me not judging that thing by its appearance, and therefore not rejecting it or not clinging to it, yeah. And what happened was, in that accident, was one person involved, which I would have never in a million years met in any other way. And that person being responsible for a $500,000 deal.
Wow,
So,
that's
and this is why I always say people are actually stuck as the doer, meaning they have to make it happen, their dreams, whatever it is, they have to work for it, simply because they constantly reject the unfolding by judging it and by saying, I don't like this, therefore I don't do it.
I love that. Judgment is such a big piece of this human experience. So
Yeah.
what are your thoughts on like taking aligned action, for example? How do you see that in your work?
The aligned action for me, it's never about initiating an act. Yeah, it's always about, okay, I am given something first, and that task I handle, but I'm never the one initiating something. So, for an example, as a human, and I can even speak about myself when I was a business coach, I would like set a goal, and then I would be like, okay. How many posts do I have to post this week and what should they be about? And then I would initiate that action to get the end result. Yeah. And now I live in a completely different way. I never initiate anything. So I'm only following with what is given to me. And there I'm handling it from a pure place, which is then Christ.
Yeah, I love that. I always say to people, all you have to do every day is ask the question, what is it I should do today? And seek to serve. You know, we're here to serve as well, right? We're here to step in and serve. And I think people forget that. I think a lot of humans, they look to take before they serve as well. I see that a lot, the energy of that in the collective.
Yes, and also I think that many don't truly understand serving because, for example, let's say 3D is in chaos and the human mind would be tempted to judge it as bad, right? But actually that chaos is serving me. How is it gonna serve me? It's serving me so that I can become pure, meaning that I can become Christ and stay in Christ because 3D is not being a mirror game. It's like you have to go beyond the mirror and then you see that 3D was always just a portal to Christ. Yeah. So the whole game of life is literally perfect because we're given 3D, 3D not being a mirror, but a portal to Christ. When we are Christ, this is where we then become God, and as God, we can truly serve. And I am then being the servant of 3D by raising it without doing, without doing.
Without doing serving, yeah, I agree, totally agree. And there's some powerful things happening right now through Dream Space. Like, what are your views on Dream Space? How you perceive Dream Space?
I'm sorry, like my native language is not English, so sometimes my brain God gets a knot, but I hope that's okay.
You're perfect. Your English is better than mine. Don't worry about it.
So the dream space is like when we look at it from consciousness perspective, consciousness never sleeps, so it constantly focuses itself onto something, yeah. So this means when I'm awake as the human and I look through my two eyes, it might be focusing on the computer I'm just like right now looking into, right? And when I'm sleeping, my body needs to rest, yeah? So meanwhile, my consciousness is focusing itself onto another reality. So it's kind of just like the experiencing a different reality that is as real as the 3D reality because actually, dreams and what we envision is more real than 3D because 3D is just the shadow of the light. So it's kind of like the past of the real present. And when people are like so focused on 3D, they are constantly focused on the past. There is no point in doing so. And also, dream space has another really great task for purification. So, as an example, let's say you have a very well hidden trigger stored in your body, yeah, and that has been so well hidden that you don't even know you have it. So the mind comes up with like metaphors and everything so that you get to like really digest all of it, and it finishing in its experience through you and therefore being done.
Yeah, I agree. I always tell people, be really aware of what's happening in dream space, because it gives you it gives you all the clues that you need to shift, what you need to heal in your 3D experience. Because yeah, I see 3D experience as almost like a game.
It is a game.
I laugh at it so much, because I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, this is totally ridiculous, as if this is even real. That's how I see it, and I think people take it far too seriously.
They think it's real. That's the first problem. And then they think they are human. That's the second problem.
Yeah.
But that's just like the thinking I'm human is just an identity I impose upon myself. So the greatest imposter syndrome we have is thinking we're human. We're not. We're consciousness. And consciousness focuses itself onto the human. But that doesn't mean that I'm human. I'm still the consciousness. To give you a metaphor for this, I always like to compare it with Super Mario, because all of us have played Super Mario at one point. And when we think we're human, we're actually believing we're the Super Mario in the game, completely forgetting that we are the one on the couch with the remote control. We have never been Super Mario.
Yeah, definitely. That's it. I love that. I always say the 3D is like a game. You just got to learn how to play it better than anyone else. And it's so much fun. It's so much fun.
It's a huge playground.
It's what, sorry?
It's a huge playground.
Yeah, it is. And like, I don't know, I have so much fun by myself. I love my own company, and I love exploring, and I love just not taking this whole thing too seriously, because I definitely don't feel human at all. Far from it.
Yeah.
And where can people like find you, Michaela, if they want to stalk your energy or find out more about you?
They can find me on Instagram, which is like She Wolf Impact, or on Facebook. There it's also She Wolf Impact when you type in like the URL, or my full name would be Michaela Eder.
Okay, beautiful. And what are kind of like the last messages that you want to leave our readers or viewers with? What should people really be focusing on right now, say in the next 3 to 6 months?
They should be focusing on like stop everything that you're doing, stop the healing, stop like all the shadow work, all these methodologies, because they are just a way of the ego to not let you find out who you really are, which is God. And when you have embodied God, nothing is impossible to one. And you don't have to do something, it is all done for you.
I love that. Powerful. Beautiful. So thank you for that. What we'll do, Michaela, is we'll make sure that all your links and however you want people to find you are in the bio when we release the podcast. So what I'll do now is I'll thank our readers and listeners, and then we'll just have a quick chat afterwards if you've got 5 minutes.
Okay.
Beautiful. Thank you for joining us here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.